Lord, thank you for the privilege of serving you, of being a vessel for you, that you would choose us, Lord, to partner with you to accomplish your mission on the earth. Thank you for giving us your precious Holy Spirit to enable us to do what we can't do. God, we know that we can do all things through Christ because you are the strength of our life, Lord. Hallelujah. And what you've called us to do is beyond us, Lord, but completely possible because, Lord, faith in God brings the victory every time. Because you're true and you're faithful. It's who you are. You don't change. And even when we waver, Lord, you don't. And we thank you that you remain steady and committed to us, Lord. You're committed to us. Hallelujah. God, we just want to be faithful. We want to be faithful to the end. We want to endure to the end. Lord, we want to overcome. And we know, Lord, that we can only do that by your grace. So help me even today, Lord, to speak. Grant me the utterance to speak, Lord, that we may hear your voice, that we might be transformed, Lord. Renew our minds, restore our souls, Lord. Revive us again, Lord. And fill our hearts with your love. And may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Almighty God, burn in us, we pray. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in us. And say, Lord, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Set my heart aflame for you. Give me holy passion to glorify you in every place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can praise Him on your own too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in us, Lord. Hallelujah. More love, Lord. Do you want more? Say more, Lord. We want more. Hallelujah. 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 It's a song that I used to listen to years ago. I think it was by Zion Choir. I'm not afraid of the darkness. Whom shall I fear? If God be for me, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. And I'm not afraid of the darkness. Whom shall I fear if God be for me? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these? I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. And I'm not afraid of the darkness. Whom shall I fear if God be for me? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? Hey, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. One more time. I'm not afraid of the darkness. Whom shall I fear if God be for me? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear not. For I am with you, right? I've redeemed you. I've called you by my name. And you're mine. And when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And neither shall the flame kindle upon you, right? Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hallelujah. Yeah, and when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Amen. God's with us through it all. Well, God is good, isn't He? No, really. Hallelujah. I know the devil convinces some people that he's not, and that's a sad thing. We got to quit listening to the voice of the devil, right? He's a liar. He just tells lies. He's trying to get us to believe him because he's a thief. But the Lord came that we might have life, and life more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. We're blessed, aren't we? We're blessed and we're favored in Christ. It's not because we're good, it's because He's good. And He's the one that makes us good. He's the one that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's the one that works in us to desire to do right, to live right. He's the one that makes us righteous. He is our righteousness. And I know, though, the flesh doesn't like that. The flesh, it opposes grace. Did you know that? Yeah. Because the flesh wants to pride itself in accomplishment, human accomplishment, and how well I'm doing or not doing. So when you're walking in the flesh, you're double-minded. You're up one day and down the other. You're doing really good one day, and the other day you're just destroyed because you let yourself down because, well, you were holding yourself up in the first place. If you're holding yourself up, you're going to let yourself down. How many know that God's the one that can hold you up? He can sustain you. He can help you. It's by His power, by His ability, by His grace we are saved. The title of today's message is Humility and the Grace of God, how they work together. Humility and the grace of God. And Scripture is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, we need to understand what the true grace of God is, and we need to know how to receive the true grace of God. And we need to understand that without the grace of God, there's no victory. It's by the ability that God supplies us that we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so God is weaning us off of ourselves as His people, so that as we rely more upon Him, His grace is much more upon us. And there's a greater expression of God through our lives. Because the world really doesn't need us, they need Jesus, amen? And so God would use us to work through us, amen, to present Himself to others. But He has to get us out of the way so we can be more effective, amen, in being a vessel and not making it about ourselves. Can you say amen? So false grace is the grace that we give ourselves. It's not the grace that saves us, but the grace we may give ourselves. False grace is preaching forgiveness without repentance. False grace is hearing without doing. False grace is intellectual agreement. That was a good message, brother. Without faithful commitment. Intellectual agreement without faithful commitment. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 7, verse 36. This is the story of the sinful woman that came to Jesus. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. And then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. He was probably all excited that Jesus was going to say something to him. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled their larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. True repentance towards God will result in the forgiveness of sins. True repentance and forgiveness produces a love for Jesus. True repentance and the receiving of his forgiveness produces a love for Jesus. The sinful woman approached Jesus, but she came in humility with great reverence and respect, and she took the role of a maidservant. She anointed his feet, and his head, and washed his feet. She demonstrated deep humility for her sin. She was weeping at his feet. She showed great love and adoration for Jesus. She loved the Lord because she had received the mercy and grace of the Lord. So what did Jesus do? He publicly declared that this woman, even though her sins were many, had been forgiven. Now, listen, the woman had not been forgiven because of her love to Christ, but her love for Jesus was a result of her forgiveness. It wasn't because of her love to Christ, amen, but her love for Jesus was a result of her forgiveness. She loved much because she had been forgiven much. And guys, this is the reality. As those who have truly been repentant and received the mercy of the grace of God will honor and serve Jesus. You will serve Jesus. You will honor, you will love, you will respect. You will be grateful for what he's done. On the other hand, the Simon, who was, of course, the Pharisee, the religious leader, he was self-righteous. And instead of realizing his own sinfulness and being honest before the Lord, he compared himself with others, comparing himself with this woman. And he didn't realize his own need for God's mercy. In fact, Simon didn't even show the honor and respect to a house guest in those days. That was customary. Simon could not receive the grace of God until he realized his need for it. And this is so important, guys, that people will not receive of God's grace until they first become aware that they need it. And some of the hardest people to reach are the self-righteous, those who believe that in themselves they're good. But the Lord came and he leveled the playing field and he says, you're all sinful. You've all fallen short. There's not one righteous, not a one. We all have to come the same way, and that's through the cross. Amen? There's salvation and none other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's through the name, amen, the blood of Jesus Christ. By the mercy of God, by the grace of God that we're saved. So when a person receives the true grace of God, when you really receive the grace of God, it will be reflected in your actions. In other words, there's going to be the fruit of repentance. In Luke chapter 6, 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Do you understand? We don't want to serve God out of legal obligation, but we want to serve God out of gratitude, out of appreciation for how He has been so good to us and so merciful towards us and forgiving us when we owed a sum of money, if you will, that we could never pay off. The debt of sin was so expensive, amen, that we could never pay it off. Instead, the Lord Himself paid for that in His own blood to release us from that debt, to bring us into covenant with Him, to become a child of God, hallelujah, a new creation, a brand new beginning in Christ, hallelujah, where your sins will be blotted out, amen, and not held against you any longer. The forgiveness of God, hallelujah, the goodness of God brings us to repentance. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Jesus is the grace of God brought down to man. The grace we give ourselves cannot transform us. Listen to the Apostle Paul when he spoke to his son in the Lord Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, what was the effect of God's grace in Paul's life? Well, it was the life of a humble servant. It was the life of a man who realized that in himself he didn't have any good thing. He didn't deserve what God did for him. He had a debt of love now to bring a return to the Lord for all that the Lord had invested in his life, to give himself back to the Lord as a living sacrifice, to be a vessel for God to work in and through. Amen. Out of gratitude, we are to serve the Lord. Out of appreciation for His grace, His goodness, we are to serve the Lord. Amen. Not out of legal obligation. See, religious people have legal obligation. They do good works, but it's always out of some type of legal obligation. And sometimes people think that if I just do enough good, it's going to outweigh the bad, and somehow that will qualify me for heaven. The problem is that sin cannot be in the presence of a holy God. Amen? And all of us have sinned and fallen short. We must receive the forgiveness and the mercy that comes from the Lord only, and not from ourselves. The devil lies to people, and he tries to convince them that somehow they're just good enough. You're not that bad. And so he tries to get us to compare ourselves with other people. Mm-hmm. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Yeah. Paul was truly grateful. Humility is a safety net for us. Humility positions you to receive the grace of God. We don't come to God expecting things from Him because we think that we're worthy in ourselves to receive. You don't come to God, amen, with your list of all the good things you've done with an entitlement mentality. Are you hearing me, somebody? We come to God because we know He's the only hope that we have. The only place where we're going to find mercy, that we're going to find forgiveness, amen, and we're going to find the grace even to help us, amen, to navigate through this sin-sick world and to come out on the other side, amen, with joy. And so we have to humble ourselves and realize that my goodness is not good enough. I can't do it independent of God. People have learned how to do Christian things without Christ. Are you hearing me? People can play church without God being present. It's all about Him. It's about walking in Him, living in Him, abiding, continuing, walking together daily with Jesus. Amen. Zephaniah 2:3 says, seek the Lord, all who are humble. You see, it's the humble who will seek the Lord. It's the humble who realize that in myself I don't have the qualities All right? To be, first of all, qualified for God's presence. We're at His mercy. Just like a criminal condemned to die is at the mercy of the judge. Amen? And aren't you glad we have an advocate with the Father? We have a defense attorney. We have our Lord, amen, standing there at the right hand of the Father, amen, as our great intercessor, our great high priest, representing us to the Father. And we can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, because the blood has already been applied to the mercy seat, amen, in the presence of the Father that cries out for our mercy, amen. It's not because of our goodness, it's because of His goodness. We can't save ourselves. That's why Jesus came. And sometimes we begin in the Spirit, we begin walking in grace, amen, and then all of a sudden we disconnect with the Lord and now we're just going to kind of go through religious practice. There's some people that have just been dead on the vine a long time and not even aware of it. Aren't you glad God sends the Holy Spirit to wake us up, to reveal to us our true condition? Hallelujah. Do you fear the Lord today? Do you understand that we're going to give an account someday? Every knee is going to bow to Him someday. Today is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord, all who are humble, and follow His commands. Seek to do what is right and live humbly. Perhaps even yet the Lord will protect you from His anger on the day of destruction. Look again at the attitude of this sinful woman in Luke 7, verse 44. Then He, Jesus, turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." You know, some of the most godly people are some of the most quietest people that you meet, too. They may not be all that demonstrative, but they're just happy and willing to be a servant of the Lord, amen, and to serve even maybe the interests of somebody else, understanding that whatever they're doing as unto the Lord and not unto men. And this woman didn't care what people thought about her. Out of gratitude, she just humbled herself and served the Lord. She gave herself back to Him. You see, when you receive forgiveness, when you've had many sins in your life and God has forgiven you, it changes you. You're never the same again. Even when you blow it, you're still never the same. You know you got to get right with God and you got to get back in the battle, back in, amen, the race. Because God's got His hand upon your life. Hallelujah. You can't just right away go right back out and get back into the hog pen. Amen. Humility is the way to receive the grace of God, which enables us to do the will of God for our lives and have an abundant welcome into heaven someday. Humility is not weakness, but it's strength under control or under restraint. Some people think, well, the humble are weak. Actually, they're the strongest. Anybody can blow their stack and go out on the street and act up and run amok and burn stuff and break stuff and beat people. Amen? But it takes true strength to be able to discipline yourself and tell your body what it's going to do. Humility is submitting oneself to the will of another. And what God is wanting from us is for you and I to be willing to humble ourselves. That means willingly submitting myself to the will of God now. Out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving for what He's done in my life. Now, Here's an example. A soldier in an army. Okay? He's going to be under orders. He's going to have to receive and learn how to receive orders from his commanding officer. Now, the soldier can receive orders from his commanding officer, but the commanding officer may not be present with him all the time. But he knows what's expected. He knows what his assignment is. Amen? He knows what his mission is. And so if he is a noble, if he is a righteous, if he is a good soldier, if you will, amen, an honorable man or woman, right? Then they're going to do what? They're going to be willing to obey the commands of their commanding officer even in his absence. Because they are humble, therefore they choose the path, amen, of humility, which says, I will submit my will to the will of those who are in charge of me so that we may accomplish the mission together. So, an honorable soldier is one who obeys orders. Even when presented with an opportunity to disobey the order, when nobody's looking. How about the employee who's left to tend the shop when the boss is away? Well, the boss isn't here anymore. Well, nowadays they got cameras, right? Well, how many know that God's got his cameras out too, amen? And he sees it all. There's no secrets. And while the Lord is away, amen, we should be about his business. But you and I are called to humble ourselves. In other words, I have to make the decision. God's not going to force me to obey him. But I humble myself by saying, I can do whatever I want, but I know what the Lord expects of me. And when I'm presented with an opportunity to do contrary to what the Lord expects of me, that's when I humble myself and I said, but my orders are to obey his voice. And I choose to obey the Lord, even when presented with an opportunity to compromise his word. God gives his grace to the humble. Humility is demonstrated by our submission to God. James 4:10, how many know this one? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Humility is the ability to cheerfully put away our own agenda for God's. Even if God's agenda is expressed through another person. Guys, let's face it, we've got to deal with an ego that wants to be noticed, has to be seen, has to be important. Has to be chief. We have to be careful. Because we're serving the master now. Amen. We're under new authority. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought. I've been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. I'm his property. He paid with blood for me. And God, in his goodness, allows me to partner with him. He allows you to do the same. To partner with him daily. To do his will. And we got to be willing to serve someone else's agenda even. If that's what God calls you to do. You see, sometimes people think if I can just get to the top of the pile, then I'll be great. Not necessarily. Sometimes it's the opposite of that. Sometimes it's the people that nobody seems to notice that God's got his eye on. You know, the one that's praying in the closet, nobody notices, but they're praying and it's between them and the Lord. But they're interceding for the people sometimes that are doing the public thing. My wife was sharing with a certain Korean minister from New Jersey that she used to listen to a lot. And he just resigned from his church. And he's a guy that has thousands of people. And he's built churches all over the place. And he's had much success. But he's stepping down. Because God has visited him. He almost lost his life. Long story short, God gave him a wake-up call. And revealed to him how much it was about him and not about the Lord. And even the people within the congregation, how much of it was about them and not about the Lord. And he was so smitten by this that he just stepped down, at least temporarily. He just said, I just got to step down. He said, my family and everything, you know, is it not right? I'm not qualified. Here's a guy again that's run thousands of people. The way to greatness is through humility. The way up is down in the kingdom. To be a servant of the Lord. What was the Lord's attitude? Matthew 20, verse 25. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Does that sound familiar? But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You were reminded in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Humility is essential to our relationship with God. If we want to walk in God's favor, if you want to walk in God's grace, then we must lay aside our pride and we must humble ourselves. In other words, we got to get over ourselves in order to be a servant of the Lord. You see, we can accomplish a lot of things simply because of our gifting. But God looks at the heart and he will judge us according to that. The motivation. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my work to be wood, hay, and stubble. I want it to remain. You don't want to spend yourself, amen, foolishly or needlessly. And sometimes the enemy works on us, especially if we felt like, well, we haven't had much value. We haven't been much of anybody in this world. And so sometimes we even can look at ministry as an opportunity to somehow be great. Everybody will know my name. I can put my name all over everything. And do you understand? That's actually the flesh. It's not supposed to be about us. Who's it supposed to be about? Come on. How many know that Jesus didn't make it about him when he was on this earth? He made it about the Father, amen? So likewise, we make it about Jesus, amen? Hallelujah. If I get some recognition, praise God, I give God the glory for that, amen? But that's not why I'm doing it. That's not why I'm here, amen? I'm not looking for the praises of man, amen? I want the Lord to say, well done. You're my good and faithful servant. You're my son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. That's the affirmation that we need, is to hear the Father say, well done. And that comes through humility, not through pride and not through exalting ourselves, but through humbling ourselves and being taking upon ourselves, just like Jesus, the form of a servant. Grace and pride are enemies. Pride demands that God bless me in light of what I think I deserve. Oh, say ouch, somebody, right? Because, you know, I think I deserve this because, God, look how I've been serving you. Sounds like the older brother, doesn't it? And the prodigal son. Yeah. God, I've been with you all along, and he's gone out and he's done all this. He's been a knucklehead, and now you're blessing him and having a party for him. Do you understand? Because he didn't understand the Father's heart and the goodness of the Father and the mercy and the grace of the Father. And that the Father's heart was to restore, to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And to bring those wayward sons and daughters back home. Hallelujah. And to restore them again. That's what we should be rejoicing in. It's hallelujah. He came home. Let's have a celebration. Don't make it about you anymore. Amen. Make it about somebody else. No? The entitlement mentality, you know? I don't know about you, but I've been caught up in that a few times, thinking, when I've come to prayer, you know, I'm thinking, well, God, look at all the things I do for you, and certainly I deserve. Well, God's humbled me, and God has straightened me out in that area. And God has reminded me of where I came from. He had to scrape me from the bottom, amen? Give me a little attitude adjustment. Right? Because once you start doing well, you can forget. And then the enemy comes along and says, it's because you're just so special. It's because you're so holy and you're so righteous and you're so powerful. And no, it's because Jesus is all that. And I get to serve him, hallelujah, and be a vessel for him to work through. Not for my sake, but for the sake of others and for the sake of the Lord, amen. You can see how proud I am of my humility. What did Jesus say? In Luke 17, verse 10. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. How about the New Living Translation? In the same way, verse 10, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. Come on. We're just doing our duty. This sinful woman worshipped and served the Lord out of gratitude, but not out of entitlement. She knew she was a mess. And guys, I praise God that he allowed me to see that I'm a mess. Amen. And if you don't think you're a mess, hold on a little while. Because you're going to have an attitude adjustment. Even as a child of God, you start getting self-righteous. God will turn the heat up. He'll show you how weak we are without him. But that's his mercy. That's his goodness. That's his grace. He loves his sons and his daughters. Amen. He's a good father. And because of that, he disciplines us. Pride is really one of the most detestable sins. It was what caused Satan's downfall. And sometimes pride presents itself in the form of independence and self-reliance. What do I need God for? I can do it fine by myself. I did it my way. And sometimes pride is even present in our hurt feelings. People get offended at church. Sometimes God's trying to point out some pride. I didn't get recognized. Why, they didn't even shake my hand. They didn't say, attaboy, after that good message. Or, are you hearing me, somebody? It's sometimes, without realizing it, we can be prideful and caught up and really wanting the esteem and the accolades, if you will, of people. But when we're doing it as unto the Lord, then even if it requires suffering, we're going to continue in the process. Amen? Because it's not about being seen or being approved of man. It's being approved by God. Therefore, the disciples could give themselves even to the death because they were not serving as unto men, but as unto God. But if we're serving as unto men and for the purpose of being seen or approved of men, then we will end up compromising the will of God to spare ourselves from rejection of men. Is it making sense? An example, if you correct a proud person, they will hate you. They'll lash out at you. I don't like being corrected. How about you? But sometimes it just reveals the pride of my heart. When somebody tries to correct me and I have a bad attitude about it. I need to be careful, amen, to receive the counsel of God and not just what anybody thinks is from God. But if it's a word from the Lord and God is trying to bring some correction in my life, I have to humble myself and receive what's being said in the sense that I need to evaluate it prayerfully, consider what's being said first and not just throw it out. If there's any truth and validity in what's being said, I need to understand that God may be using that person to speak to me because God wants to bring me higher. He wants to cut some stuff out of my life that's not non-productive. And that pride will get in the way of God's grace for you. You want more grace, more love, more power, more of you, Lord, in my life? Humble yourself. Submit yourself to God, to the will of God, amen, and deny yourself like Jesus said, and God will then be able to entrust the greater riches of the kingdom to you because he's got a user-friendly vehicle, amen, a vessel. 1 Peter 5 and 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Well, what is due time? I want it now. In other words, you need to be consistent in your walk, consistent in your obedience, learning how to discipline yourself, learning how to hear and obey the voice of God, and deny yourself. And God says, I've got somebody here that I can trust. Because they're willing to do all my good pleasure. They're willing to do all my will. That's why David was esteemed by the Lord. Amen. David wasn't a perfect man, no. But God esteemed David because David had a heart to do all of the will of God. Even when he failed, he still had a heart for God. And he got right with God, didn't he? And God forgave him. Yeah, there are consequences for rebelling against God, but God is merciful, amen? And he will forgive, and he'll give you another chance. Hallelujah, aren't you glad? 70 times 7. Humility. Again, it's essential to our relationship with God. And if we want to walk in His grace, His unmerited favor, then we must be willing to lay aside our pride. And like the sinful woman, when a woman or a person receives of the true grace of God, it will be reflected in their actions. There will be the fruit of repentance. Hallelujah. So guys, the word has been spoken today. We have to make a decision. Are we going to receive it? And we're going to apply it and say, Lord, whatever you got to do, get me into position because I want to be a vessel of honor. Amen. I want to be a vessel that you can work through. Hallelujah. And I don't want to make it about me. I want to make it about you. Because I'm grateful for what you've done for me in my life. I don't deserve what Jesus did for me. You don't deserve what Jesus did for you. Amen? But He loved you first. He loved you anyways. And He calls us to Himself, to partner. To do what? To yoke up with Him. Place my yoke upon you. Amen? And learn of me. God wants us to enter into a place of rest with Him. Where we're doing life together with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to honor the Lord. How about you? I want to bear fruit. How about you? So let's pray. And maybe ask the Lord, Lord, where are the areas of pride in my life? Where do I need to submit myself? Lord, forgive me. For my pride. Forgive me for the times I rebel against your voice and your known will. Lord, I want to be a man after your own heart, just like David. God, I ask you to change my heart. Lord, if necessary, give me a new heart. Take out of me that heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Give me a heart that is receptive and willing to yield to your Spirit. A heart that is full of the love of God and a heart that will give you first place in everything. You'll have preeminence. God, help me. Because I can't do anything without you, without your grace. Help us all, Lord God, as your church, as your people, as your representatives, as your ambassadors, to be the kind of people, Lord, that will be an example for others to follow as we follow you. And we can point people to you, Lord, that we will esteem you above all else, that your will be supreme. God, make your will my desire. Purify me in your blood. Make me holy. Make me like you, Lord. Hallelujah. Set my heart on fire. Lord, reignite the flame within me again. Restore to me the lamp of my first love. God, bring us back to that old landmark where we'll make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction, Lord, and place a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Here I am. Consume me with your love, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, fill me with your holy fire. Baptize my heart. Would you raise your hands and say, Lord, baptize my heart with your holy fire and give me holy passion to glorify you, to live for you and for your honor, to glorify you in every place. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your name, Lord God. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you with a heart of thanksgiving, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for all you've done, Lord.